إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the world. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, his progeny, apostles and the believers who take the right path to the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the privilege of being among them. Bismillahi tabarak wa ta'ala, we shall commence the Riyadu Salihin class today after a very long vacation. The last time we met and discussed Riyadu Salihin, a hadith of Riyadu Salihin, was on the 13th May 2017. We were considering subchapter 55, Babu Fadli Zuhdi fi Dunya wal Hafi ala Taqallul minha wa Fadli al Faqr, the chapter that discusses the excellence of living an ascetic life and an encouragement on abstaining from worldly life and the virtue of poverty. This very last aspect of the topic, وَفَضْلُ الْفَقْرِ, the virtue of poverty, we have reiterated without number, times without numbers, that فَقْر, poverty, is not something that someone will wish for himself or deliberately try to be poor because of the hadith and even other verses of the Quran that teaches and regulates how we should deal with worldly things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many authentic narrations have sought the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what? From poverty. But the context to be considered here is if Allah placed someone under such trial, it has virtue for them to persevere and be patient and be righteous despite the fact that they are poor. They will still be righteous, they will be patient, they will abide by the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For whosoever is able to do that, then there is fadl in being poor. It is not that the religion of Islam is encouraging that you be poor. No, it is not that the Sharia encourages that you be poor, but by the discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made some people to be poor and He made some people to be wealthy and rich. So if you fall among such category and you exercise patience, you do not question the authority of Allah. Why is it that I'm poor and the others are rich? As a believer, you submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Well, then in such a situation, lil faqri fadl. Today we shall commence with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardahu, hadith number 484. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, with both of them. قال مر علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نعالج خصا لنا. But رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by while we were repairing a hut, a fatty hut, a house made of wood and covered with mud. That some aspect of it some part of it got spoiled, and we were putting up some repairs while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by, and he said, فَقَالَ مَا هَذَا. And the Messenger of Allah said, question, what is this? What is this that you are doing? فَقُلْنَا قَدْ وَهِيَ, that it has become weak. We are trying to strengthen it. It has become weak. فَنَحْنُ نُصْلِحُهُ, and we are what? We are repairing it. فَقَالَ ما أرى الأمر إلا أعجل من ذلك. That I see the sure thing that is death sooner than this. I see it sooner than this. That is death. Death will come sooner than you expect this to get spoiled and you repair it again. That is to say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching them an indirect lesson, not to be overwhelmed and preoccupied by this house of theirs or any worldly related thing, whereas death can come as sooner than you can imagine. Ma ara al-amra illa a'jala min dhalik. That is, al-amra huna is death. That is sooner than this. That is closer, is very close to you than this that you are doing. That is an indirect way of admonishing them. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this has been his attitude whenever he sees any opportunity. He reminds, Subhanallah, look at the scenario. It's like you passing by some people painting their house, and you remind them of death. Today, someone will say he's not happy that we even built the house in the first place. So he doesn't want us to live long. But we are in a temporary, abode. We are just like tenants here. Yes, you may have bought land, you may have built house, but you are still a tenant. Because لِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has the right of inheritance of the heavens and the earth. It belongs to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are just passers-by. We are passers-by. Then Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala brought forth after hadith, the hadith of Ka'b ibn Iyad radiyallahu anhu qala, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن لكل أمة فتنة. That I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that indeed for every nation has its fitna, its trial. وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. And the fitna of my nation is what? Is wealth. The fitna of my nation is wealth. This is a real fitna. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never left anything that is good for us except that he instructs us concerning it. And he has never left anything that is harmful to us except that he draws our attention to it and warns us against it. Al-mal. People can do anything for money today. Fitnatu hadhihi al-ummah, al-mal. That is why if I've always said that if Satan, the Satan, the Iblis that was sent out of the Jannah, if he were to appear and introduce himself, not hiding his identity, in this era of ours, if he were to appear and introduce himself, but comes along with him a lot of money, that he is Iblis, the one whom Allah directly caught and set out of the paradise, people will still what? They will still follow him. He will have followers. Fitnatu ummati al-mal. So if mal, wealth, is fitna, and it is a fitna that is even peculiar to this ummah, what does that mean? It means that we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. As we shall be seeing, it doesn't stop here. On the day of Qiyamah, we are going to be held into account. On the day of recompense, you will account for this money. First of all, where did you get it from? And how you spent it. Now, the issue is nobody cares where it comes from. Today, nobody cares where it comes from. In fact, if you try to be questioning the source, then you will be deserved to be recorded in the Guinness Book of Records as the number one fool of this century. You see money and you are asking for the source? Are you insane? Wallahi, people will refer to you as he has mental problems. If they say why, he said, can you imagine they gave him money? He was trying to know the source of the money before he collected. That is insanity. Fitna al-mal. That is why some righteous predecessors says, don't give testimony about anybody if anything that has to do with money has never brought the two of you together. It is one of those things they use to sift the righteous from the non-righteous. That is why amana, trust, carries a very weighty reward for someone to be trustworthy, most especially when it comes to what? Al-mal. Haven't you noticed that even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called upon us to strive in his cause, he started with spending from what we have, what we possess. He made mention of what we possess before making mention of our souls. جاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم. This is because our souls, we are even ready to sacrifice our souls in the course of searching for what? That is human for you. In the course of searching for money, we live our lives. We are ready to sacrifice our lives to get what? Money. Not minding the fact that, okay, what if we lose our life in the course of searching for this money, who spent it? We don't take that into consideration. We are ready to sacrifice our life to get money. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us to strive in his cause, he said, جَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. He started with amwal before even making mention of our souls. الجهاد بالنفس because وتحبون المال حبا جما. That is our description. Our creator who knows everything about us is this. تحبون المال حبا جما. So that mal which you have an extreme love for should be what you start with in jihad. Start with the mal. It is as though we even love wealth more than the love we have for our what? Our lives. In the case of a believer, he knows that no matter how much wealth he garners here on the earth, have you ever heard of someone who took along with him dollars to the heavens? naira to the heavens. It is of no use. The day you are declared deceased, then every right you have on the wealth cease to be. Then it becomes the property of your heirs, whether you like it or not. You have no control over it. You have no control over how they spend it. Fitnatu ummati al-mal. We have to be very careful with wealth. Where are you going? Searching for wealth. Where are you coming from? Searching for wealth. What are you thinking? Thinking of wealth. What do you want to do? I want to continue to search for wealth. You think wealth, you dream wealth, you work towards garnering wealth, it distracts you from even thinking of what? Of the hereafter. Is that not enough fitna? Ya man bidunya washtaghal. Oh, you who have preoccupied himself with his dunya, as if here is a permanent home. والموت ياتي بغته. You are busy, preoccupied with dunya. Some people, subhanallah, when you look at them, you feel for them. Wallahi, there are a lot of people out there that doesn't even have anything to do with akhirah. There are some people that don't even, first daily prayer is the least that a Muslim must necessarily sustain. Wallahi, there are a lot out there that doesn't even observe prayer. That is why we have a lot of responsibility lying on our shoulders. Imagine that you assisted someone that, you know, he's a Muslim, you've never seen him pray. Go close to him, admonish him, draw him closer to you, and he started praying. Observe salawat. Imagine the reward if he does that for the next 20 years before he dies. Imagine the reward you get from it. Whenever he observes any salat, you get reward. There are lots of people out there, wallahi. They don't have anything to do with akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. This is not a permanent home. We are passers-by. Adiri as-sabir. Ghuraba. We are strangers. This is not our home. So Rasulullah is drawing our attention to something very important, a fitna that is peculiar to this ummah, al-mal, wealth. So be careful about it. Because we've been told in previous ahadith that no matter how much wealth you gather, wallahi, it will never ever suffice it. Rasulullah said, it is only the sand that can fill the stomach of who? Of the son of Adam. And when will sand suffice him and fill his stomach after he must have been taken to where? That is until someone dies. That is the nature of he says, wallahi, if I can get a job where I will be paid 50,000 naira, alhamdulillah. What else do I want in this dunya? Allow him to get the job of 50,000. Once he steps into that 50,000, he looks ahead. He looks ahead. No, 50,000 is not sufficient. He has now tasted 50,000. He was battling with a job of 15,000 before. And he survived. He was living. He was alive. He did not die. He did not run mad for the fact that his earning was just 15,000 naira or even lower than that. It's just that, yes, it was difficult, but he was turning things around. Now he has stepped into the shoes of someone who is getting 50,000 naira. He's still not sufficient. And that is our nature. And it will continue to be like that until when? Until we go back to Allah. So the wise is that person that does not allow himself to be carried away by that. You don't allow yourself to be carried away by that. Yes. It is natural. We want wealth. We want money. It is not haram for you to want to be a billionaire. It is not haram for you to want to be a billionaire, but the defect there is for you to be carried away. If Uthman ibn Affan wasn't wealthy, he wouldn't have spent to the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma darra Uthmanu ma amila ba'da al-yawm." It is the issue of Uthman is already sealed. There is no doubt as to his admissibility into the paradise. What did he do? Was it kathratu as-salawat, nawafil siyam, nawafil? No, he spent his wealth. His wealth spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was what end of man. That is why when you supplicate unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wealth, ask for that which you will be in control of, in the sense that you will be able to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wealth you will be able to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are wealthy and Allah, that is even the what they call envy. It is lawful for you to envy such a person. That is the only situation where it is lawful for you to envy someone. The two cases where it is lawful is that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him his blessings. He is knowledgeable, he knows the Quran, he teaches people, uses his knowledge to guide others. Then it is lawful for you to envy such person, wishing to be like them. And that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth. فَسَلَّطَهُ. That is the word used by the Rasulullah. Sometimes you will be given wealth. It is the wealth that will have sultan on you. The wealth will be in control of you. But Rasulullah said, فَسَلَّطَهُ عَلَى هَلَكَتِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah placed that person over the wealth. He is in control, in the sense that he spends in the cause of Allah. It is lawful for you to envy such person that I want the likeness of this wealth. If I get the likeness of this wealth, I will spend the likeness of this spending. But when the reverse becomes the case, it becomes fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. وعن أبي أمرو ويقال أبو عبد الله ويقال أبو ليلى عثمان ابن عفان رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال on the authority of عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه that indeed the messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم said ليس لابن آدم حق في سوى هذه الخصال, that the son of Adam does not have right. Scholars, commentators on this hadith said haqq here means al-haja, that the son of Adam does not necessarily, these are necessities that someone needs to survive. They said haqq here means the needs of the son of Adam, which he needs to survive. He doesn't need other than the following: baytun yaskunuhu, a house where he stays, وَثَوْبٌ نُوَارِ عَوْرَتَهُ, and a cloth with which he covers his private part, وَجِلْفُ الْخُبْزِ, and a piece of dried bread, or a container. Some scholars say the jilful khubz is a container wherein he keeps his dried bread, والماء, and what? And water. That is shelter, clothing, and what you will eat and drink. These are the necessities that someone, if at all you want to strive to get anything, these are the things you should strive to what? To get. Some scholars even said that with a servant is not going to be held accountable for on the day of Qiyamah. These are the only things that you are not going to be held accountable for on the day of Qiyamah. trying to get where you stay, what you clothing to clothe yourself, what you eat and drink. Anything that goes outside this is luxury, and you will be held accountable for it. Anything that goes outside this is luxury, and you will be held accountable for it. The hadith is a weak hadith, according to Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. The next hadith is that of Abdullah ibn Shikhir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu annahu qala ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yaqra'u al-hakum at-takathur. Abdullah ibn Shikhir said, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was reciting the Quran, particularly Surah At-Takathur. He was reciting al-hakum at-takathur, that mutual rivalry, competition, mutual rivalry in what? In hoarding worldly things. We are sufficient, we still want more. We already have millions in our account, we still want it to rise to billions. It is now billions, we want it to rise to, it is in naira, we want it to rise to billions in dollars. It is already billions in dollars, we want it to go higher than that. Al-hakum at-takathur, that rivalry, mutual rivalry in hoarding, gathering worldly things preoccupies you. We've been, Allah said, you are being preoccupied. Ilha al-hakum at-takathur, you are being preoccupied for the fact that you want to get, you want to gather more, you want to gather more. So everybody wants more, I want more, you want more, so there is this competition. In fact, sometimes it grows to be an unhealthy one, where people plan evil things against one another, like the politicians do. If you are my rival and I discover that if you are not being taking care of you does not mean that that is taking care of you doing away with you, even if it means that you be what? You be killed. You are likely to win. So you are the most likely strong rival. A politician is ready to kill you. But for what? For what? For dunya. For dunya. Al-hakum at-takathur. So someone who is ready to kill another, or someone who is ready to frame allegations, weighty allegations that can never ever be substantiated against his brother, just to rope him and get him off the track. Is this not ilha? This is a complete destruction. That person is never ever giving himself the opportunity of thinking of, okay, what if today I die and I'm being taken to the grave? Okay, on the day of Qiyamah, when each and every one of us is going to stand before Allah, and our limbs will be the ones talking on our behalf, what is it that I'm going to say? You instructed that person to go and assassinate that one. You instructed those ones to do this. You instructed this. You instructed this. It is your tongue that will be giving those testimonies on the day of Qiyamah. What are you going to do? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, because of the gravity of the sinful act you have committed, drag him to Jahannam. What is going to be of you? Destruction. Because of what? Takathur. I've gotten money now. What I need is what? Is power. Even when you come to the midst of scholars, there is this takathur, al-hakum takathur, does not apply only to wealthy people, competition, unhealthy competition to gather wealth. It applies to students of knowledge and scholars too. Their capital, in most cases, most especially the du'at, is how many are the people that listens to me. The more my listeners, the more my income. That is why you see that the They do everything within their capability to apply a kind of monopoly over their audience, and indirectly or sometimes directly instructing them not to ever make effort of what? Listening to another person. So that they will not what? They will not be carried away. The aim and the objective is not to get these people guided to Allah. It's not to show them the way to Allah. They don't care whether you know the way to Allah or not. What they are interested in is how much you can bring. Iyadan billah. Du'atun ala abwab jahannam. That is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described them the day he drew that straight line, and beside it he drew several other lines. He said, this is the sirat al-mustaqim. It is straight. There are no bends. He said, these are subul, these are other ways. And on each of these subul, there is a da'i, a caller, who is calling to Jahannam. They mean, if you want to remain steadfast, you are going to face hurdles and challenges. You are going to face distractions. People will be trying to distract you. Just yesterday night, I heard some strange things yesterday night. Someone was telling me that in a particular street, a settlement of this town, that predominantly they are Sufis, Ahlul Tariqah, that they have nicknames. That one of the names is the shoes of Shehu. In Hausa, meaning Takalmin Shehu. In fact, it has gotten to a stage where the real name of this person, if his name is Ahmad, nobody knows he is Ahmad. What they know him to be is, so someone can just say, I now ask the person that was telling me, I said, meaning I can call the person, tackle me, and he will answer. Without necessarily saying tackle me, he said, yes, he will answer because he knows that he is the only tackle me that is in that area. The shoes of who? Of Shehu. Iyadan billah. So this shoe of Shehu now. In fact, that some people have made effort, they paid for his transport fare, thinking that barista is the only person that can do that magic of penetrating this person's heart. That is an independent effort that I was just hearing yesterday, that some people have made effort and they brought that person to some of my classes, that maybe if he listens to the likeness of barista, he may be guided. But with that, he still remained adamant. They've brought him to barista's class severally so that he listens and maybe he understands sunnah. But now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide him. But the challenge is where now? The whole of the family are Sufis. He wants to learn. You see, once, that is why they don't want their followers to listen. If they will listen and be fair to themselves. The Quran, the light of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will penetrate them. You cannot hinder the light of the Quran. You cannot. And the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he wants to learn. And he has agreed to learn from a brother, a Sunni brother. But the issue is, he will be learning in the masjid. And being takalmin shehu, it is strictly prohibited upon him to enter an Izala mosque. Okay, how do we now do that? And that is the only place where we can meet you and teach you. So the mosque has a back door. So he will enter from behind. That is a progress. The fact that he entered that mosque is a very big progress. Because that person was reported to have said in the past that for him to enter this mosque, that particular mosque, he will prefer to enter a church. He would have better entered a church than enter that mosque that belongs to Isala. But this is the same person now that have agreed to go into that mosque and what? And sit before a Sunni brother to learn. So he did that for some period of time. He's now got to a stage where he's thinking now, why won't I be brave enough? He entered the mosque through the door. And he's Takel Minshew, and the area is predominantly the Sufis, and there is no way you will enter the mosque through the door and you will not be what? Noticed. Then, that was the commencement of the war. That how on earth will tackle me? Eh? Enter an Izala mosque. How on earth? Eh? How about tackle me? Why will you do this? This is a disgrace. This is a disgrace to Shehu. Not to Allah. Not to Rasulullah. Not to the deen of Allah. Subhanallah. But alhamdulillah now, if the brother that was informing me said, if I say Takal Minshe, we said, no, my name is so-so-so person. You see, that is a progress. So how on earth will someone's brain be washed to the extent of accepting to be the shoe of another servant of Allah? I cannot imagine your status. I cannot even imagine what your status will be that will allow me to accept being your own shoe. Is it not what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to do away with? نقل العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. To transform humanity from worshipping fellow human beings like themselves to that level of worshipping their creator. Now, people are now reverting to that jahiliyyah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is one of the cardinal objectives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emancipating human beings from slavery. From being slaves to fellow slaves. From being slaves to servants of Allah to being slaves of Allah, their creator. But gradually the Satan, through the use of religion. Because subhanAllah, look at Satan. Satan did not say this is a new thing, that no, Islam is not the way. No, it is still under Islam now. That one of them, his father said he has one wife, and a lady accepted Islam. A lady claimed to have accepted Islam. They now quickly said, we are not going to marry her out to anybody except the person that is devotedly obedient to Shehu. Not devotedly obedient to Allah. Not devotedly obedient to Allah, or Rasulullah. Devotedly obedient to Shehu. So this person happened to be a very known Shehu adherent. But his father said, no, even the one wife that is at home, I am the one shouldering the responsibility. I can't imagine you taking a second wife. Then it became an issue. The father is also a Sufi person. They took him to one of their leaders. They took both the father and the son to one of their leaders. They said, okay, this is, your father is complaining that you don't have a job, you cannot feed even the wife at home, and she gave birth just a few months back, and you want to take another wife that he cannot shoulder that responsibility. When he was asked, he said, as far as he's concerned, Shehu will feed them for him. Iyadam billah. Is this not pure shirk? How else will someone practice shirk? How else? Is there any other clear scenario other than this? That Shehu, not Allah, Shehu will take care of them. Then the idiots that carried the big turbans and the long sabers. They said, they laughed over it. They said, you haven't you heard that? So since he has that strong belief in Shehu, that Shehu will take care of everything,
you should they should marry the lady to him, and that is what they did.
Shehu, that is the type of terbiya. They were happy. They were excited for the fact that, hey, this is our own. This one understands the meaning of Shehu very well. To the extent that he believes, he has a firm belief in Shehu that, you know, Shehu will take over care of everything. You can see that many people have been misled. They've been taken out of the religion completely. Iyadam billah, someone on the day of Qiyamah will be resurrected thinking he is a Muslim, just for him to discover that there is no even any traces of Islam in him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. He said, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. That was where we were, that striving, engaging in competition as to gathering more and more worldly things has distracted you. You've been preoccupied by that. That was what I met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam doing. And this is what we don't do often. Reading the Quran. If Allah is your task, there is this sister that close to about 10 years while we were serving, 10 years back, I saw this sister. Up till now, I've not forgotten her because of one thing that I saw with her. In whatever situation, whether under the sun, whether standing, whether sitting, wherever you see her with this very small mushaf, always reading the Quran. Subhanallah. Wallahi, that is a very big gift of Allah. If you cannot do that, even if make it compulsory that every day, don't say one safar. Satan will say, no, one safar is too much for you. Say 5 minutes. If you read one safar within 5 minutes, if you read two safar, if you read two and a half, good. Say 5 minutes. 5 minutes. In the morning, every day, 5 minutes before I set out to go for office, or if anything distracts me, every day, I must recite the Quran for 5 minutes. Don't say 1 hour. Satan can also deceive you and say, no, 5 minutes is too small for you. Haba, why will you say 5 minutes? Because he doesn't want you to do it. You do 1 hour for 2 days and you will never ever come back to it again. But 5 minutes. You know, this soul, you need to be diplomatic with it, so that you'll be able to achieve your soul. Why is it that I am not capable of sustaining 5 minutes? Go into seclusion and cry 5 minutes. Talk to yourself like Umar used to do. Umar would say, Ya Umar, if you do not fear Allah, Allah will punish you. Call unto yourself. Say, 5 minutes? I cannot sustain 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes of recitation of Quran every day? I cannot. Shame on me. You have to be diplomatic with yourself. If not, that is the prophet of Allah. A prophet of Allah. A messenger of Allah is saying this. Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu. You have to be very diplomatic with it. Start with 5 minutes so that you achieve it. Why is it that you cannot sustain 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes? But you can watch film, you can read a long articles on what's up for more than 15 minutes. You are not tired. You can be flipping through pages on Facebook, internet for more than 2 hours. You are not tired. But 5 minutes of Quran, shame on you. Go into seclusion and achieve. That is what you will do. Haven't you heard of that righteous predecessor who dug a grave in his house? Whenever he felt, no, I'm becoming weak, he goes into the grave and he talks to himself. He lies down in it. He said, look, you brought yourself here now. The soul has not been taken away. You better go back and tighten your belt before the day you will be what? You will be brought. 5 minutes. Create that atmosphere in the house. 5 minute recitation of Quran. In the evening before we go to bed, let's agree on a time. If our schedules differ, have you read Quran for 5 minutes? Yes, I have.
No, he didn't.
One of your kids, you say, he didn't.
He said, no, I did when they sent her to go and I read it. So it will become a practice that this person is monitoring. This person, like one of my colleagues said, he's a very small boy. Whenever they are going out, we watch them one after the other. He learns adhkar, the adhkar of going out of the house.
So when they go out, he says it, and he will watch and say,
I saw you, all of you. No, none of you said the zikr of going out. None of you said it.
You see, he's watching them. By his own measure, he is now indirectly doing what? Reminding them. He's now reminding them. Create such atmosphere at home. 5 minutes recitation before going to bed. 5 minutes recitation after Subuh prayer. Have you read Quran for at least, worst case scenario, 5 minutes? Subhanallah. Rasulullah said, "Bikulli harfin ashru hasanat." In that 5 minutes, if you are to sit down, what if you want to calculate the rewards as to each and every alphabet you have read in the Quran, it will take you more than 5 minutes to arrive at the figure. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the rahmah of Allah. Subhanallah. If you read Quran for 5 minutes, if you want to calculate the reward, wallahi, it will take you not less than, if you are fast, it will take you not than 15 minutes, not less than 15 minutes. To calculate the reward of the work you did within how many minutes? Look at the rahmah of Allah. اِعْمَلُوا قَلِيلًا وَتُؤْجَرُوا كَثِيرًا. That is the qaida of Allah. You just do very little good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala double-fold your rewards. He double-fold your rewards. He says, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمْ مَالِي مَالِي. He said, this is a build-up on the previous hadith. وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. Rasulullah said, the son of Adam will be repeating, my wealth, مَالِي مَالِي, مَالِي مَالِي. وَهَلْ لَكَ يَبْنَ آدَمْ مِنْ مَالِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ. O you, the son of Adam, do you own of your wealth other than that which you eat and consume? If you are a millionaire today, you are just a millionaire in figure. In reality, what belongs to you is that part of the money which you use to buy food and you ate that food. That is your own. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. Or what you wear and you wear it out. Even that which you wear, you bought a new cloth, after you wore it once and you died, it is still new. It is still usable. Some people will come and what? Will come and use it. It is just part of that clothes that belongs to you. It is only that clothes which you wear and you wear it out until it is worn out. It is only that belongs to you from your wealth. أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Or what you give in sadaqah and you seal it. That is the only thing. These are the three categories of what we own: what we eat, what we wear until it is worn out, and what we give out in what? In sadaqah. Nothing more. So what is it that you say, mali, 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 mali? Mali, 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 mali. Scholar said, كل ما يجمعه الإنسان في هذه الحياة الدنيا زائدا عن حاجته فإنما هو بمنزلة الخادم الخازن لغيره. Whatever any human being gathers above his needs, anything that goes outside your need, your immediate need, you build a house of 50 bedrooms. How many rooms can you occupy at a time? It is just only that aspect of it. In fact, you are a tenant, a capital tenant. A tenant. Because once you die, another person do what? Steps in. So whatever you have, whatever you gather that goes outside your immediate needs, scholar said, you are in the position of al-khadim. You are serving others. Al-khazin, a storekeeper. You are serving and you are also storekeeping for others. Definitely it is for others. Then in the same hadith, scholars said, At-tahrib ala zuhdi min jami'i al-amwal. It is an encouragement that you abstain from making it your aim, gathering what? Wealth. Wal-ikthar min al-sadaqah. At the same time, the hadith is urging you to what? To get engaged in a lot of what? A lot of sadaqah. Whenever you want to give out in sadaqah, remember that what you are giving out is what will be left for what? For you. What you are giving out is for you. Can any one of us now close his eyes and recall with a mathematical particularity the number of sadaqah, the amount, the place, the condition, the situation, circumstances where he gave all the sadaqahs that he has ever given in his life? Can anyone close his eyes and be able to do that? You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. But has Allah forgotten that? Subhanallah. This is one of those things that makes our righteous predecessors to feel the good taste of ibadah. Recalling that my rewards are with who? With Allah. Sit down every day and think and ask yourself, have I saved anything with Allah today? This brightens your heart. It uplifts the burden of doing any good deeds. It makes it light and less burdensome. Because whenever you remember that, okay, if as soon as I'm through with these two rakat, I've saved something with who? With Allah. Subhanallah. What we care about most of the time is when our phone blinks, we want to be sure whether it is a stupid message or it is a bank alert. And even if it is a bank alert, whether it is a credit or debit. But our record with Allah, our savings with Allah, how much have you saved today? How much have you saved? How much have you saved today? Have you saved 50 naira? That is why you will see the likeness of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu bringing everything that he owns. Bringing everything that he owns. Rasulullah said, what is it that you did? Have you left anything over for your family? He said, I left Allah and the Messenger of Allah. Subhanallah. 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 So, Yabna Adam, O you son of Adam, you don't have anything of your wealth except these three: that which you ate and you consumed, that which you wear until it is worn out, and that which you what? Gave out in what? In sadaqah. There is this person that I once made mention of him. I don't know him. His identity was not disclosed. It was an anonymous question, but it was a real question. The person wanted a solution. He said, My children, they are all okay. They are wealthy. They are millionaires. They don't need my estate. Can I will out my estate? Can I distribute everything that I own before departing? That person has the likeness of the mindset of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas while he was on his sickbed. He said, Rasulullah, I have only one daughter who is to inherit me. Can I give out so amount of my belongings? Give it out in sadaqah. Because he's thinking, and I am about to meet Allah. It's only that which you do when you are alive. This is the opportunity. This is your time for you to do it. That is why Rasulullah said, it was reported that even if you are aware that, look, now is the end of time. This is Qiyamu Sa'ah. If you are on your farm, you are about planting a seed, and they said, is Qiyamu Sa'ah of what essence? You want to plant now, and when are you going to harvest it? It is of no use. Everything will collapse. Now, this is the end. Rasulullah said, you should still go ahead to what? Plant it. Since you are already here, you are set, you are ready, don't miss the opportunity. This is the time. That is why you have to be creative. Look at the Sahaba of Rasulullah. Wallahi, subhanallah, sometimes when you read about them, subhanallah, look at what they use their thinking for. Very creative, very smart. When it comes to looking for how to attain paradise, you see that they don't leave any stone unturned. Look at that Sahabi whom Rasulullah said, ask for anything that you want. He said, I want, look at, subhanAllah, how he framed his request. Murafaqataka fil Jannah. I'm done. Your companionship, where? In the paradise. That is okay. When Rasulullah came and told them that 70,000 among this ummah will be invited to the paradise without being held onto account for anything. Somebody quickly seized the opportunity. Ukasha. Say, Rasulullah, I want you to supplicate unto Allah to make me one of them. Another person said, hey, Rasulullah said, you are one of them. Another person said, hey, this one has gone. Sealed. An inmate of paradise. Ukasha. Another person stood up and said, Rasulullah, supplicate for me too to be one of them. It was only a single slot. And this person has what? Has taken it. Subhanallah. When you look at them, their livelihood, when they are in the market, when they are on the battlefield, all they want is to attain the pleasure of Allah. That did not stop them from getting rich. They were wealthy. They are the likeness of Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and many others. Who were wealthy. And it did not distract them from being steadfast on the religion. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum ardaahum. These are the people we are supposed to what? We are supposed to emulate. And nobody knows when his or her time will what? Will come. That is one thing that, subhanAllah, as we are here now, after we must have dispersed, the news can just get to you that Ustaz is dead. The angel of death doesn't look, he walks by instruction. He doesn't look at your age, your position, your whatever. He takes you away at the appointed time. So now that we are breathing, let's be as much as possible, let's be conscious as much as possible. And one of those things that will arouse our consciousness of Allah, consciousness of the religion, is what? This kind of gathering. At least, worst case scenario, you will come here. you hear one or two things. At least. After you must have left here, you try to do something. Try to practicalize it. Even if it is for between Maghrib and Isha, and the next morning Satan has distracted you again. Next week he will come. He doesn't want you to come. At least you try to create consciousness. Use your children, use your wife as tools too. When what they used to do is when the husband is going out, the wife will hold on to him and admonish him, fear Allah. And don't bring into this house haram. Allahu Akbar. Fear Allah and don't bring into this house haram. Whenever there is dispute between husband and his wife, and she's the one that ate, and he tells her, fear Allah, then sword, you see that swords are being shielded. Everybody shields his sword. If it is the husband, fear Allah. My husband, fear Allah. Whenever the fear of Allah is being mentioned, he comes back to himself immediately. Until we get to that level, we are still playing. If your wife says, fear Allah, say, look at her. You, to me, fear Allah. Me, fear Allah. You are telling me to fear Allah. Or it is you that tells your wife, fear Allah. Because she knows a lot, uncountable of, but it is as if, like the lawyers will say, that it doesn't lie in your mouth. It lies in the mouth of the court. You now see as if, okay, what is the correlation between you and that statement that you just made? It means we have to sit up. That is how they did it. They made it. There is dispute between them, they go to Rasulullah. They've always tried to make sure that what all the steps they are taking is towards attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to emulate them. Because of time, we are going to stop here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the privilege of meeting next week, we shall proceed from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal. Wallahu ta'ala ala. Na'am. آمين وإياكم. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله.
My question is on
نعم.
Here before the mention of the name Usman ibn Affan, is it his kunya that was mentioned publicly?
Yes. It was the kunya of Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. There were different versions of what was really his kunya. Uthman, you know, there are some of them that were famous by their kunya. The likeness of Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. Some of them were famous by their kunya, some of them by their names. So Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was more famous by his name and the name given to him by the Sahaba at that time, Dhun Nurayn. The possessor of two likes, for the fact that he married two daughters of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala. So in such a situation, the narrators of hadith, to be in fairness, they will bring forth all the versions of the narrations that came to their knowledge. That was why he said Abi Amru wa yuqalu Abu Abdullah wa yuqal Abu Layla. Wallahu a'lam. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله. نعم. Yes, four of them, yes. In a wrong way, definitely you are going to be held responsible. You are going to be held responsible, definitely. Yes, that statement was just an obiter. It was by the way that some scholars said that what the purport of this hadith is that Allah, if that is only the only thing that someone restricted himself to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold him responsible. He's not going to account for it. He's not going to account for it. But if you get it in the wrong way, no matter how little it is, no matter how little it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you responsible, most especially if it has to do, you know, most especially if we talk about anything that is related to wealth. In most cases, they are sinful acts that carry two faces. That is the right of Allah, and in most cases, it necessarily affects the right of a human being. So that of Allah, if you seek for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is left to the discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgives whomever he wishes to forgive. But that of a right due to a human being, no amount of istighfar will erase it. The only thing is for you to go back, go and return that which accrued to you, which is the right of another person. Or if you cannot, go and seek for the consent of such person that I took this unlawfully, it belongs to you, and I cannot return it. I want you to forgive me. So that is the right of a fellow human being. So in a nutshell, if someone gets anything, acquires anything,